Good morning, Barbados, and to those joining into this program. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. I am Myrna Jordan, District Secretary to the Nazarene Missions International of the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District. I take this opportunity to thank Starcom Network and Federal Motor Spares for making this program possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks this morning for the opportunity to be used as a channel to share your word. I ask that the unction from your Holy Spirit would flow through me as I present. Bless the hearers, and may this word fall on fertile ground. Father, take the glory and the honor. With thanksgiving, I pray in Jesus' name. My theme today, Jesus makes the difference. Today, as I take a look at the remedy for the distressing times in our lives, St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The context in which this advice is given stems from Jesus' need to speak to the multitudes who thronged him daily during his ministry on earth. In any multitude, there are going to be persons with diverse backgrounds, personalities, perspectives, and needs. Such a crowd is mentioned in the verses of Matthew chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. In verse 25, we read, "And they followed him, great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." Not only do we read of their addresses, but also the nature of their business in verse 24. It says, "And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those that were possessed with devils or demons, and those which were lunatic, insane or mad, and those that were had palsy, and he healed them." Some of the illnesses represented here are not of a medical nature and so needed to be addressed at the spiritual level. Following this, Jesus takes to a mountain for a teaching session, what we now know is commonly called as the Sermon on the Mount. This discourse span chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. In chapter 5, where he shared some beatitudes with them, we find him stressing the blessedness of being in some situations. The term blessed here speaks to a sense of happiness, well-being, security, absolute bliss, delight, and joy. He spoke to the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The ones who mourned, he told them they would be comforted. The ones who were meek, they shall inherit the earth. Those who hungered and thirsted after righteousness, they shall be filled. Those who were merciful would obtain mercy. The pure in heart shall see God, and the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. The persecuted ones, the reviled, are those mocked and scorned. Falsely accused ones, they would enjoy great rewards in heaven. A special divine favor will be bestowed on persons displaying such character traits, not only for now, but for eternity. in order for them to shine as lights and us as well in this earth and to bring glory to God, their Father, our Father. He saw it necessary to touch on some of the commandments. He was not canceling them, but rather sought to redefine them so that they were better understood. As we read, we hear the authority coming through. He spoke to them, "This is what you have known. This is what you have heard, or you have heard it said. Thou shalt not kill." Otherwise, one would incur judgment in the law court. Verse 21 of Matthew chapter 5. But when he put his mark on it, he said, "But I say it can be dealt another way." Conflict resolution starts in your spirit or in my spirit. Checking the anger, the hate, the jealousy, the covetousness, especially without a cause, as well as refraining from derogatory remarks like calling somebody you fool or you idiot. These things can irritate. But if these are checked at the point in the heart, then there will be no need for the killing. Verse 21 and 22 of Matthew 5. He also mentioned about adultery. Verse 27 and 28. It does not start with the act in the bed, but rather it starts with the roving eye and the lustful thoughts. He warned them not to swear. Neither by heaven, which was God's throne, nor by earth, which was his footstool. Sometimes we hear people saying in anger, "If so and so don't happen," they ask God to blind them. Now, why would we want God to take away our sight? Sight, eyesight is so precious. He also warned them that the hair on our head, we could not even make one hair. So then we were not to swear at all. Verse 38 and 39 of Matthew 5. An eye for an eye. No. He put his stamp. I say, the authority comes from me. Do not even strike back. Turn the other cheek. In other words, walk away and from trouble if you can. We can think of Kenny Rogers, the country and western singer, in his song, "Coward in the County." He was pointing out to his nephew, having been given a message from that child's father who was incarcerated in prison. The young man was warned, "You don't have to fight to prove that you are a man. You can turn the other cheek and walk away from trouble if you can." In Bajan parlance, our grandparents would tell us, "Coward dog will keep whole bones." In other words, we may have to give up our rights to keep a situation peaceful. We don't have to have the last word. We can walk away and let peace reign. When he goes to chapter 6, he takes a look at three ordinances of temple life and by extension to us in church life today. These areas are in the areas of giving, praying, and fasting. Not if, when we do these things. Forgiving, he warned them that they were not to come on the roadside and do it so openly for all to see. Rather, it was to be done in secret. For us today, he would warn us not to have the TV cameras and the journalist jostling, everyone wanting to get a story for their respective news media. But rather, we are to do it that it would bring glory to God. And when we come to the area of praying, the Pharisees of that day came on the street side and they prayed long and lots of repetition. But he warned again that praying should be reverent, done with a reverent understanding of whom God is and who for us, who he is, to whom we were praying. We were to go into our closets, our chambers. In other words, we were being ushered into the secret place of God's presence to adore him, to exalt him first, and then put our several petitions. He outlined for them and for us who were it's so relevant today what we know as the Lord's Prayer. This psalmist zeroed in here in Psalms 141 verse 2. He spoke that he wanted his prayer to come up before God. And he said in the New International Version, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. In other words, when we pray, our prayers are lovingly saved as a sweet perfume or incense to be enjoyed in heaven. And when he got to fasting, though, this was also a showpiece. But he warned them, they were not to be looking the part of being distressed or depressed. What we would say with our faces not up or screwed up. Theirs was the job of spreading sackcloth and dirtying up their faces with ashes. And for all that, they were still missing the mark because their prayers were not obtaining results. But he warned that it should be a cheerful moment. We are to wash our faces and anoint our head. And when we do, we enter in the secret place of God's presence to do business with him. He pulled from the Old Testament in many of his teaching sessions. And perhaps he wanted them to reflect from on the fast that God had ordained in Isaiah chapter 58 verse 3 through 14. God warned that that fast was not to be for fighting and for strife, but rather it was to loose the chains of injustice. Today in our world, we see and hear the several complaints on our phoning programs. Currently, national insurance is very high on the list. Persons are not getting their due. This national insurance is to have an amendment to their act. And we wonder, how much better are we going to be off? Who is going to be disenfranchised as a result of these changes? We wait and see. That fast was to lift heavy burdens, was to break yokes. Persons are screwed up, waiting for freedom, but don't know how to obtain it. It is through our fasting and praying. Sometimes they cry out to us in pain, not necessarily from a health point of view, but rather with the heavy burden. as we pray and fast with them or for them, we can share verse of scripture. We can comfort them with a song, the verses from a song. As we pray, we can see those heavy burdens lifted. The fasting was to help provide food for the hungry and clothing for the naked. Even at the level of our family, we were not to disrespect our own flesh. Benefits would be derived from fasting in the way that God ordained. Notably, our light or theirs would shine well like the morning. Health would spring forth speedily. The glory of the Lord shall be theirs and our protection. We shall call on the Lord and he will answer. He will answer in a holistic way, a holistic response to our needs. Only when these ordinances are performed in accordance to God's standard. Jesus was taking the time out to let them know that his teaching was there to know that he was wanting to make a difference in their life. He is here to make a difference in our life. But then he came down to stressing for them that there would be lights, and we too should shine as lights in this earth. When he stresses for them that they cannot serve God and mammon, he knew the likely arguments that would be raised. Mammon here means money. What he was putting forth to them, that he needed them to have singleness of purpose in serving God and being dependent on him. These fundamental guidelines are so relevant for us today. God must be top priority in our lives. You see, today we are so busy getting money for daily needs that we let slip in serving God faithfully. So he was warning his audience and this present day audience that God needed to be first. So then, the word serve here, serving their masters, serving God and serving mammon, could be misconstrued as working for our daily masters. And then the argument would rise in their hearts. If they then cannot work for their masters to earn money, how then were they going to survive? How are they going to get food and clothing for their families? Jesus, knowing what would be in their hearts, stills whatever arguments that they could raise by countering with these realities. He spoke to them at everyday things that they could know about. He spoke of the birds of the air, which are found in great numbers in Palestine. He warned that even they are taken care of. They did not plant, but they could reap, because sometimes we wake up early mornings and we have fruit trees around. We hear them tweeting, and to us it could sound like they're saying sweet, sweet, sweet. And yet they are taken care of. While the text speaks to birds in plural, I want to pause to make an observation of the sparrows. In St. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, in another of his discourse, he asked the question, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? That equals 4 cents. If that 4 cents is in American money, then it's 8 cents in their money. But he warned that they do not fall to the ground without the Father letting it happen. If you look at them for trading, not much income can be realized from trading with these, but they are of worth to God to provide for them. In Moses' time, the leper could present tubers to the priest to effect their complete cleansing. They were noted as poor man sacrifice, where the poor man could not buy a sheep or goat. They could use the sparrow, the birds, and it was believed by the believed that there were sparrows offered for their sacrifice. So, Leviticus chapter 4, we read that. The lilies of the field, he spoke to their splendor. They were so beautiful. Yet, the rain that fell on them, the dew that fell on them, the sun that fell on them, made them so beautiful, they shone forth. And he likened them to Solomon's robe. Now, anyone commissioned to weave a robe for the king would have to be a top-notch weaver or a designer. And yet, that level of workmanship could not outshine the beauty of the lilies. God himself provided that. The need to worry about everyday aspects of life, like food, drink, clothes, was not to so overpower them and by extension us, but rather they were to focus on the knowledge that God who provided for the birds and the lilies can certainly provide for them and for us as well. Now this brings us to the text for the message. But it's a conjunction and also it speaks to a condition being laid down. As the text says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, until then, those persons in his midst had not understood who Jesus was. They really did not know his worth. He was letting them know that righteousness would come from him. His purpose in the earth was to give them a chance to have a right relationship with their father. And so all that they were taught and learned, had learned before, and the way in which they were learning, he now was putting his mark of authority. If you now do it as I say, I am here to make the difference in your life. And if you take the time from me, if you understand that I'm here to make you righteous before God, then all the pieces would fall into place just like a puzzle when you were setting it out. Jesus wanted them to understand that he was there to make the difference. Today I speak to some heart who may be depressed, who somebody may have thrown some disparaging remarks at, may have told you today that you are nothing, that you are like the scum of the earth, that you will come to nothing. May I warn you today, that does not have to be so. Jesus is here to make the difference in your life today. He is here, and I am here through this message to invite you to affirm to yourself that you are special to God, even as the sparrows are special to him, so are you. Keep affirming to yourself, I am somebody in God's presence. I am worthwhile to God. He takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of me. I pray today that this word would be a blessing to your hearts who have heard me today. I pray that it would fall on good ground and bring forth much fruit. God bless you. I want now to share with you a song from Andrea Crouch. Jesus is all to the world today. And so today, I want, as you listen, that it would make a difference in your life.
That you think you cannot climb.